Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. You know, where two or more are gathered together, patience is always required. We'll talk about that and other things here today on New Life Live.
Hi, Steve Ardman here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I feel that I'm just there to fulfill his sexual needs.
Love does endure all things, but it doesn't enable all evil.
That's the big ugly. I was asking for the big ugly.
Women are thinking, if this doesn't work out, give me a call. But the
first, you just try to stop. But if that's not working, then it's time to put out the white flag and say, I surrender. I can't get this done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here, and you and your phone calls, along with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud and our friends who listen in by internet or by telephone. We're glad that you're with us here today. Guys, I said patience. It seems like being a Christian, you're in this hurry up and wait mode so much. There's so many things that require us to be patient. Relationships, God's plan unfolding, pain being delivered, all of those things required patience.
Kind of against all of our nature. You know, we have a now nature.
Boy,
you want it, I want it yesterday, I want it now. And then every time you open up the Bible, there's always this time process of growth, and you, he waters the plants and all this, and we just hate it. Mm-hmm. But it's such a great thing if we can learn it.
Yeah.
You know what does not require patience, and patience works against us?
What?
Obedience and suffering.
You can just do it instantly.
Hey, guys, is entering into that today, Bubba. Don't put that off till tomorrow.
Well, I was at my IA meeting, Impulsives Anonymous, and
it used to be anonymous, but now.
Yeah, now.
Well, it's a short meeting because nobody really sticks around.
No. Well, they've always got something. Oops, got it. I'm out of here.
Gotta go.
It's been real. Got the urge to go. See you. Oh, dear. But I'll tell you, it is fighting against our nature to be patient and let God's world, his will, all of that just unfold before us. But that's when great things really do happen, not just good things, but great things.
You know where you really see the changes in people who have dependencies on substances or, you know, addicts and people like that? And once they can enter that life of pain and suffering, they begin to get free of these things.
Yeah.
But I want to get away from the pain right now. What can I do to anesthetize myself problem that keeps them in jail?
Mm-hmm.
Patience is a good thing.
Really is. And, you know, if you're struggling with patience, you probably can't ever make progress on your own. You've got to.
You can't.
Just bring somebody alongside.
You've got to submit yourself to a discipline process. My 3-year-old, I put her in timeout yesterday for something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to keep track. And she goes in timeout. And seriously, it's, you know, 45 seconds later, she's ready to get out, and she thinks that, you know, I'm going to let her out. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, the real lesson here that I'm interested in is not just, you know, don't do whatever you did, but I want her to have to wait, and I want her to have to learn to be comfortable with waiting. And so, you know, I told her, when you don't want to get out anymore, or I didn't say that, but when you stop yelling or whatever it is, then we'll talk about getting out. We as adults need that same lesson, but we're not going to do it without any accountability relationships or, you know, somebody putting us in timeout any more than a 3-year-old is, because the part of us that needs it is probably about 3 years old.
Yeah.
You know, the big problems of waiting is realizing life's not about you. Got to wait in line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to wait for somebody else. You got to wait for a phone call. Like, life doesn't revolve around you. When you can kind of get on the periphery of life, then you can wait better.
It's true.
Like, just to take a month off from something that's important to you. I mean, even, you know, to do a small kind of fast like that, in the larger scheme of things, it's no time at all.
Kind of a relational, sabbatical or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Could kill you. Mm. Could literally kill you. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn. I want to take a moment to wish you a very Merry Christmas and extend my best wishes for God's blessing to you in the coming year. We are so honored to count you as part of our listening family, and we consider our relationship with you a gift from the Lord. You know, this is a season that fosters giving. We hold God's gift of Christ as our most precious, and we celebrate that by sharing with others. And it's during this year-end time that New Life Ministries receives much of the support needed to continue our outreach through the radio broadcasts, our crisis call center, and other resources and programs. I'm asking you to consider helping underwrite this ministry with a special gift this month. If you've received any benefit from New Life or you believe others have, please join us in our efforts to communicate God's love, truth, and transforming power. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or visit newlife.com. Merry Christmas from all of us here at New Life Ministries.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud. Let's go to Ed in Dallas. KWRD is the station. Hey, Ed, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Yeah, we are. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to y'all. I listen to your show every time I get a chance when I'm in the car, and I really appreciate what you all are doing.
Well, thank you. How could we help you?
I have an addiction to pornography. Need some help getting away from it.
Well, what have you done to stop that?
well, I
Have you tried real hard?
Yeah, there are months and months and months and months I can go without it, and then all of a sudden I get this irresistible urge and get back into it. Mm.
And Ed, have you listened to the program? I don't know, like fairly often.
Not. Too, because of my work schedule and
is the show kind of new to you?
It's not new. I've caught you last year and parts of this year, but as far as listening to it, yeah, because I only catch you every now and then.
Right. Have you heard us talk about this problem?
Yeah, once or twice.
Okay. Well, yeah, it is something that comes up a lot. You are not alone in this, and there are answers for this.
Well, one of the reasons I know I go back to pornography is there's a real lack of intimacy between me and my wife. In fact, the last time we were really intimate was over 10 years ago.
Wow.
That's why you go to it?
Yeah, because it's kind of like, how I can, at least in my perverted mind, it's how I can get some sort of
fantasy
intimacy.
Yeah, right. Hey, Ed, one of the reasons we ask you if you had listened to the program much is as we talk about this problem, we usually sort of, talk about the things that cause it and the ways to get out of it. And one of the things that you always see in the picture somewhere, if somebody's addicted to pornography, is there's some sort of vacuum inside. And if what you're saying is part of what's driving this is some sort of breach between you and your wife, what are y'all doing to fix that? What's the 10 years about? Because that's usually just a symptom.
Well, I don't know exactly, because I'm a real touchy-feely type of person. I like to hug. I like to hold hands. I like, and she just doesn't want any part of it. And I really don't know why she won't talk about it. Because
For 10 years, she's not wanted to have any kind of physical intimacy with you. And,
We'll have sex maybe 4 or 5 times a year. Every now and then, she may hold my hand or grab my arm when we're walking in the mall or something. And those times, I'm on cloud nine. And
well,
but the rest of the time,
when you ask her about
that, she doesn't seem to think anything's wrong. That's the way she wants it, and that's the way it is.
Is that the nature of your relationship? That things,
basically.
Is she more in control of things than having a mutual thing?
Yeah.
Why is that? I mean, why would you
Well, if she doesn't, it's more of a peacemaking thing, because if she doesn't get her way, she rant and raves and tears up the house, and it's just a bad environment for the kids and everything. So it's better to submit and do it that way than to have the kids get caught in the middle of it.
Well, Ed, you've just described another dynamic we talk about a lot in the scenario to men who are addicted to porn, is generally they feel powerless in a relationship. And so I think we need to advise you in two different directions. Mm-hmm. One is the problem itself. And, you know, like the Every Man's Battle program, the workshops, or a group like that, or read the book, and basically this is resolved by getting together with other men and who struggle.
Right.
And this has all been mapped out. Yeah. I mean, Steve developed a program that's, I mean, it, there aren't any questions that you can ask that haven't been mapped out.
And there's groups in your area. Right. And you're just not going to, you know, you're not going to conquer this on your own with your own willpower. It's got to be in relationship with God and in relationship with the processes that He's designed in the Bible. And so you got to get together with some other men who understand the struggle. You got to start talking about your feelings and the loneliness and the isolation and the powerlessness. And basically, you got to get healthy just as a person. It's not about stopping a symptom only. It's about getting healthy in what's driving that symptom. And then you're going to come out of the shame, and then you're not going to feel bad about yourself, and then you're going to, you know, get connected to life again. But on the other side, something's got to be, you know, done about this log jam with your wife, because you're not happy being controlled like that. I'm sure the kids aren't happy being controlled like that, and probably she's not happy. And have the two of you ever gone to get help together?
We tried it a long time ago. And anytime that the counselor would say anything that was against what she thought, it was, well, they're all on your side. Hmm. And so she'd stop talking to them.
Yeah, but what a good counselor would say at that point is, what makes you think that? Why do you say that?
She would just quit. You know, she would say that, you know, they were all on my side.
Yeah, and then the
and then leave.
Yeah, and then the good counselor would call her and say, you know what, I don't think it's a good idea to quit without talking about it, and I'll see you Monday at, you know, 9 o'clock.
And then she wouldn't go back.
Well, ultimately she's in control of that. But what I would suggest is that you make some sort of appeal to try again, but not on being against her, but talk about that you feel lonely. And that you want more out of your relationship, and you want to learn how, you know, put something in there for her. You want to learn how to be a better husband for her.
There's got to be ways that this is affecting her negatively.
Yeah. And just make another appeal to get her in somewhere.
Sometimes you can start by asking her, if there was one thing that you could undo, what would it be? Or what would be your biggest disappointment? Just try inviting her to finally maybe tell you something that really is a problem for her, a resentment, bitterness, to open up in that way.
And I'll tell you something else, Ed, is a lot of times when a husband has a powerful wife who's kind of a ragey person, and he, like you said, sooner or later you finally decided to submit, then it becomes very difficult. You get in kind of a comfort zone because at least you know how to manage this person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know the rules. You know where not to go.
Exactly.
And then what happens? You've got to break out of that and become more persistent in really, you know, gentle, grace-filled ways. But you have to break out of that, you know, conflict kind of avoidance and just say, you know, Betty, we're going to keep having conflict until we get help. And you don't give up on that. Even if she starts breaking dishes, you just say, see, that's another sign we need help. So don't get into the I'm settling mode. That really is kind of the death of anything you'd like to have.
Yeah, because, you know, in that situation, you start to hide. Mm-hmm. You don't reveal what you're feeling, and you lose yourself.
You lose
your life.
The addictions get worse, and the kids grow up saying, you know, you never protected me from her, and, you know, you don't want to have that.
Let me send you Every Man's Battle, and I'm going to send you Every Man, God's Man. I think that will be helpful to you, Ed, and we'll tell you about the workshop, too. But in your healing, you're going to learn how to, in an empathic way, communicate with her. And it may stir some things up, but it may not also create the big disaster from the past. But we really do want to help you. I'm going to encourage everybody to pray for you because, you know, being in a marriage like that, very, very tough. And hope that this will be of help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you're interested in any of the resources that we have. Let's go to Karen from Stafford, Virginia, WAVA. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Real good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I wanted to call, first of all, just to thank you for the program. My husband is actually the one who told me about your program. He listens to it every day while he's at work.
Well, thank you, Karen's husband.
That's kind of cool. Really, a lot of times the wife tells the husband to listen to this show. So way to go, husband.
Yeah.
Well, he would come home and he'd say, well, the boy said this and the boy said that. And I said, well, who are the boys? So I started listening.
Did we end up on your side in these issues, more on his side, Karen?
More on his side.
Okay. We'll try to fix that today.
Yeah.
There have been some things that I've been praying about that really God has used you all to kind of speak to him.
Hmm. Well, good.
And but what I'm calling about today is that we are trying to transition as a couple into the things that God would have for us. And I find us getting stuck and not.
Let me understand something. To transition from the things that God would have from us presupposes that you are not where God would have you today.
Well, and I believe that.
Where are you that he doesn't want you?
Hmm. Well, I think we are, there's some areas of change in our life that need to take
Specifically
place.
Specifically what?
Well, we want to become more fiscally responsible.
Fiscally responsible? Financially?
Financially. I'm a stay-at-home mother, and I think we could do a lot better financially than we do, but we tend to kind of stay in a crisis mode.
You're seeing some areas you really want to grow in.
Right.
I got you.
And we talked about saving money, and we talk about it often and say we're going to do it, but it never comes to pass, and we are trying to, he's had some health issues lately that have, where we really need to alter our lifestyle.
So how are you going to do that?
Well, that's why I called you.
All right, well, good. Karen, do you have kids, you said, or didn't say?
Say that again.
Do you have children?
Yes.
And how old are they?
One is 12 and one is 2.
Okay. Does your 2-year-old have a playmate?
No, not really. He's
no
basically
friends.
Home with me.
Okay. Have you ever seen him with another 2-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just picture that scene, all right? And then picture you wanting to go out and go shopping and leave those 2 2-year-olds in the house and say, if you guys could straighten this thing up, by the time I get back, I'd appreciate it.
Right.
Now, how's that going to happen?
It's not.
It's not. And see, that's the problem. A lot of times, you know, if somebody doesn't have structure and self-discipline, like you and your husband, you're out of control, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you say to yourselves things like, well, we just need to get more self-disciplined. We
right.
need to get more committed. You know, we
right.
need to get after this.
Right.
But there's nothing in the recipe. There's no, you know, ingredient in the house that's going to make that happen because neither of you possess it or you wouldn't be in the mess.
Right.
Okay? So just admit that powerlessness and admit that inability.
Yeah.
And the two of you go submit yourself to a good financial counselor, somebody that this is what they do. They help couples who have lost it and they're out of control. And he or she will provide the structure for you to then, you just obey the relationship. In other words, you obey the process. See, that's God's grace being given to you in the form of somebody else's strength, and then you just keep going back.
Well, I've been trying to, every time we have this conversation, you know, I always say, well, let's go to this person. Mm-hmm. Let's go to a counselor. Not that things are awful, but that I believe that they could be better.
They could be better, and not only a counselor, what you should do is kind of get one of those little study guides. There's a lot of people that have them out there from, you know, Ron Blue or Larry Burkett or a lot of people. And you get with 3 or 4 other couples, and you commit to a group to support each other but in this process. There's not something else you're saying there, sounds like, Karen, which is I'd say that and then nothing happens, right?
Right.
Okay, why does nothing happen?
generally, you know, whenever I say it, you know, he'll say, well I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it.
Well, if he's listening to us right now, you said he is. No, you're not. You're not going to just do it, or you would have done it by now. And
Sam, so, that's what the boys say.
Yeah, Sam, the boys are telling you, you are not going to do it. You're in denial. So here's what you do. Karen, you tell him that you're going to make the appointment.
Okay.
And you're going to go, and you want him to come with you, because it'd be a good thing if he's happy with the budget that you home with.
Right.
But you're going to come home with one.
Okay.
And whoever has the most structure should take the first step. So if he can't make the appointment, you do it, and you tell him what time it is, and tell him to show up.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to tell you the most effective way for a non-saver to save money.
Okay.
It's almost foolproof.
Okay.
So I'll give you that right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
And God bless you for wanting to get
absolute
in control.
Absolute blessing.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I've had a weight problem my entire life. I learned to use food as something to comfort myself. Subconsciously, I was hoping for a magic wand. I had tried various things. I tried 12-step programs. None of those approaches were quite like what I heard at Lose It for Life.
You can lose weight and keep it off for life, but it involves more than just the latest fad diet or exercise machine. If the underlying emotional, spiritual, and physiological issues aren't addressed, the weight returns. The next Lose It for Life workshop is January 22nd through the 24th in Dallas, Texas. To find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
My whole mentality completely shifted. I wasn't so concerned anymore about what I weighed. I was more concerned with making healthy choices. It hasn't been the same since.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking about money. And I was just going to give the money
foolproof.
Tip.
See, foolproof.
And that is that you work it out where you never see the money. And when you don't see it, you often don't ever even miss it. And you just start. You start with $100 that you have them withdraw from your paycheck or automatic deposit or whatever, and then you just go from there, if at all possible. You may start with $10. But you start. You know what else? People that pay bills regularly and faithfully on time but never save anything, actually, if they can get in the routine of making the savings account or the investment account a bill, they can become great savers. You can change that. That is something you can do. But it sure does help, like you were saying, Henry, to have people come alongside you.
And what else is good to do, I think, is the same thing about giving. That you purpose in your heart what percentage you're going to give, and you never see that. You know, you put it in an account, or it gets sent to an account that doesn't get spendable.
Right.
Because the Bible teaches very, very specifically, where your treasure your heart is going to be. Mm-hmm. If your treasure ends up, you know, in your lap, spendable, then you're going to be, you know, running out to the
malls. My treasure's burning a hole in my pocket.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But if your treasure is somewhere, or some portion of your treasure is over there in a treasure account for God and good deeds, where, you know, it's supposed to be, then your heart's going to follow in that direction.
And I love what Randy Alcorn says. You know, you're just sending it on up ahead. Mm. It's the one thing that you can send into heaven or take with you. You give it. You're investing it there. Let's go to Ellen.
Everybody's heard that old story about, you know, the guy goes and he dies and goes to heaven. And you know, he says, where am I going to live? And, you know, Peter takes him to this little, you know, it's this little room. Mm-hmm. And says, you know, it's really nice and all this. But he looks across the street and there's, you know, all these big mansions and stuff. And he says, why can't I have one of those? And he said, well, you didn't send me very much to work with. Mm. And that's kind of the
concept.
Metaphor.
Yeah. Let's go to Ellen in Cincinnati, WAKW. Hey, Ellen, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Did we just convict you to send money on up ahead?
to our program?
Send it to us. We'll get it to heaven. That's our new motto.
Well, I've got your two envelopes sitting on my desk ready to send out, actually. So I've got before I could send one out, I got another one. So.
Well, thank you so much. We're going to send you the metal travel mug just for mentioning that on the air.
I don't have a metal travel mug.
Well, you're going
to. Shortly.
You sure will.
That's wonderful.
How could we help today?
Well, first, I just want to say thanks for your program. Pretty much every aspect of my life has been changed by listening to your show, and I really appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
Including, I was at Lose It for Life, and you said, Steve, that sugar was the enemy.
Yeah.
And I gave up sugar at Lose It for Life.
How you doing?
I have lost about 2 to 3 pounds a week.
Really?
Since.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing you changed?
That's the only thing I've been able to change.
And so,
oh, my goodness.
So how much have you lost since Cape
about
May?
About 22 pounds, I guess.
22 pounds.
Wow.
Super.
Congratulations.
Isn't it hard to scrape all the sugar off those Krispy Kremes? Doesn't it take a long time?
Okay, you know what, Henry? Now, people are sitting there going, I didn't know you could do that. I bet if you just took a spoon, you could get that sugar off there.
I'll tell you, it has been very hard, but I got a friend of mine who's an alcoholic to pray for me and give me advice on how to give up something.
An alcoholic or an alcoholic in recovery?
An alcoholic in recovery.
Yeah, they're better to ask to
She's
pray
She's in recovery.
For.
Okay,
yeah.
How
many
the
people,
former kind of forget.
And how many people do we hear who are successful with this say, well, I have a friend or I have
there
this group that's helped. So that's so great. Well,
right.
Ellen, how can we help you today?
I have a question about how to make a good decision about, I'd like to change churches, change religions, actually.
Mm. Change religions?
Yeah.
Huh. From what to what?
Do you mind if I say the denomination that I'm part of?
No.
Okay. I was raised Catholic, and I've really been a committed Catholic for a long time.
Uh-huh.
But I'm starting to feel that it's just not the right place for me, which is, it's kind of sad, too, because I've really gotten a lot from being Catholic, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need some help knowing if this is the right thing, if this is what God wants me to do.
So it's not you're not changing religions. You're changing expressions of faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
Would that be more accurate?
Yeah, that would be.
From a Catholic expression to some other expression.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the question about that?
How do I make this decision? Because, you know, it's hard to leave the Catholic Church because mm-hmm. there's so much culture and, you know, stuff like that. And
mm-hmm. There's a lot of good things there.
Yes. There are a lot of good things, and I have really loved being in the church. But I also am became a Christian when I was 14 in the evangelical circles.
Ellen, is it more a question of, like, is it the right thing to do, or is it a question if it's the right thing to do, but my attachments are so deep that it's hard? Which issue is it?
You know, my attachments aren't so deep anymore. I've actually been going to another church off and on, mm-hmm. an evangelical church.
Was that the one you want to go to?
Probably, yeah.
Have you made up your mind?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how do I make up my mind. That's
okay.
What I'm asking you about.
All right, well, let us give you some guidelines after the break.
Okay, great.
All right, you hold on, Ellen.
Thank you.
Ellen mentioned the Lose It for Life Institute. The next one, April 25th in Southern California. Embassy Suites.
Lost 22 pounds.
That's great.
In
10
just
weeks.
A couple of months.
Two to three a week.
It's the way to do it. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. Today's program has been pre-recorded. If you'd like to make a donation or register for an upcoming workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn. We're talking to Ellen from Cincinnati, looking to make a change in your church.
That's right.
Hey, Ellen.
Yeah.
Sometimes when people are, this is sort of a crude analogy here, but sometimes when people are dating and they'll call us and they want to talk about, you know, the particular guy or woman that they're, you know, attracted to and drawn to, and that there's this issue or that issue with them. And it's always, always difficult to get them to back up away from the person into looking at what they desire in a relationship first. And then evaluate the person to see if the person meets those criteria, okay? And so we would say the same thing, you know, about selecting a church. What I would suggest you do is in this time where you're considering this, that you get just a few good kind of basic books on, for lack of a better word, on doctrine and orthodoxy.
Okay.
Because what the Bible really talks about is a handful of themes that throughout history, every good church has held to these themes, and then they've kind of expressed them in their own personal ways. And those themes of what an Orthodox church would believe, you know, it's not a long list, but it should be a severe list.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you begin to look to one step away from that, little softer things, like how those are lived out in that community of faith. For example, one of the things is the process of sanctification an important part of what the church does? In other words, is the church dedicated to not only teaching its people, but growing its people? Okay, that's an orthodox doctrine. And then you look at church A, B, or C, and how do they live that out? And some may have small groups where you can experience that in the body of Christ. Others don't, for example.
Right.
And some may have a larger expression of how you can bring all of the areas of life into your faith experience, and others don't. And so I would figure out what's important to me first, and then go look at churches to see who's expressing your understanding of the Bible the best.
Okay. Can you recommend a book on doctrine?
Well, the closest thing that we have to doctrine, which actually did come from systematic theology, is How People Grow.
I actually have that.
You have that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, look in the table of contents and all the things in there, the theology of God and Christ and sanctification and justification and the Bible and all of those things. Look at a church to see what they believe about those things. But then one that's not so much related to growth would be, I know the old ones, like Paul Little had a book out years ago, Know What You Believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Probably still around. Another one would be Dwight Pentecost had a book out, Things That Become Sound Doctrine.
Okay.
These are very readable. Charles Ryrie had one.
I think your book, A Bunch of Beliefs That'll Drive You Crazy, is a good one. No, really, 11 beliefs, is
it's
it?
It's 12 Christian beliefs that will drive you crazy.
I think that's a great book
Christian
for somebody
beliefs.
Searching for
yeah.
authenticity in faith.
But it's not really about doctrine. It's about kooky things to avoid.
Yeah. I have been a Christian for a long time, and I've bumped up against some interesting
yeah.
people. So.
Yeah, but the point, Ellen, is that God and his, you know, superintending of us over the centuries
yeah.
has made sure that there are certain beliefs that are just kind of like, you know, the big deals. And when we hold to them, they work. Then our life works for us. And so you don't get lost in the little deals, and just
right.
make sure that the churches you're looking at are doing those, and then they are relationally based and growth based, and want to reach the world and all those
right.
good things.
I mean,
Ellen,
wait.
do you have our book Safe People?
I do. Yeah, I've read it.
Okay. Well, yeah. in there's a chapter called Where Do I Find Safe People?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
we actually have a section in there on safe churches.
Oh,
and I think it's in that chapter. It might be its own chapter. But we have a list of
chapter.
Criteria that we think a safe church has.
Okay. Oh, that's terrific. Okay.
And look at that list, and that might be a guide also.
Okay. I loaned it to a friend, so I'll have to get
public,
it back.
Public flogging is something that is
not, it wouldn't be on the
no.
safe
so that's
list.
Very Catholic now, so just watch it. Because
okay.
we're very proud of that history.
All right, Ellen, thanks for your
come
phone
on,
call.
They're not doing that now.
We'll send you a book.
We know so many Catholics who are just so alive mm-hmm. in a real expression of faith and in community. It's really
well, you know what it's such a deep faith, too.
What kind of scares me is when someone starts looking for a new denomination. Because any denomination is going to have healthy churches and not
right,
so healthy
exactly.
churches.
Exactly. You need to look for a good local
yeah.
body. And you happen to be in a town where there are some really good ones.
Yeah. Let's go to D, who is also in a town where there's some good churches, Atlanta, Georgia. WNIV is the station. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
We're okay.
Timing is wonderful. I'm here in the carpool line picking up my two boys.
Well, that's fun.
Well, there's only three more days of that because we've decided to homeschool starting January.
Is that right?
How about that?
Were you wired for that?
I don't know, but and I know I can't do it by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes kids also.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
What led you to that decision? Just curious.
Well, you know what? We decided to take more more responsibility for our children's education, and there were a lot of things coming from church as well. I think it was one sermon when our minister had his children's artwork on the stage, which really put the light bulb on for me.
Mm-hmm.
My children aren't here. This is interesting. I'm sorry, I can't.
Well, yeah. Hey, you know what?
Dave, could we just help you go look for them?
Yeah, mm. please. I'm sorry. This is like very embarrassing.
Well, did you have a question?
Why don't you sit here and wait while
now,
you go find
if
them?
If you're homeschooling when your children aren't there, it's going to be kind of quiet.
Thank you.
Could you move on?
Could we talk to him?
Yeah,
is that
no.
guy available?
I'm really sorry. The reason I was calling today
yeah.
is that I'm in a family, the youngest of three girls, adult girls, and this lady's moving me on, and I haven't become my kids yet. Mm. I'm sorry. Anyway,
do you know adult ADD can really be treated? I mean, all this lack of being able to stay on one topic can really be helped.
You're right.
Just be patient.
You're right. Hi, guys. Anyways, what happened? We've always been together on Christmas Eve, traditionally, all our entire life.
How do you guys find the same house?
Just for the, for the family Christmas party kind of thing.
Okay.
Well, a couple years ago, my oldest sister and her family moved out of state, and that's the first time. This year is the first time we won't be together on Christmas Eve. So we made alternate plans to do the family get-together on the Sunday prior to Christmas. No big deal. Well, we're going to church that morning, of course, and then our church doesn't do a thing on Sunday night. But this year, for Christmas, there is going to be a special Christmas celebration on Sunday evening. So my family wants to go to that.
Your family meaning the family that you're the mother of.
Exactly. Well, my older sister called me today and blasted me, saying that, what in the world is important to me, and how dare I sandwich our family Christmas party in between my morning and my nighttime church services, and what in the world do you think is important? Isn't family important at all? My mouth was just agape because I thought, what's important? If she could hear how ridiculous her argument was. And this is the same sister who was kind of giving me the materialistic spiel on the dollar-for-dollar Christmas gift, ensuring that I've spent as much on her children as she did on mine, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. So she's already told you, see, she's somebody that keeps score.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so which game do you want to win?
I want to win the big game.
Okay, well, then you lose the little game, and you don't do what she does, or you don't do everything that she wants you to do to make her happy, and you empathize with her frustration.
Okay.
So, gosh, I'm sorry that you'll miss us, and we'll miss you too, but I need some time with, just our family.
Okay.
If that's what you want to do.
Are you concerned that she would disinvite you then?
Oh, no.
You have a lot more time.
I don't think, we can certainly have the celebration.
Okay, so you'll still show up and she'll be frosty and you'll love her and you have a good time.
And tell her I'm sorry her glass is half empty.
No, that's angry.
Okay.
Don't do the angry.
Then you're keeping score.
Yeah. You just be gracious towards her and, gosh. Yeah, I know. This is really such a busy time, and that was which way we went. Now I really want to have a good time with you. And as much as possible, keep the peace on your side. That's what Romans 13 says.
Be grateful you're not a scorekeeper.
That's true.
It's a pretty miserable life to live. Because you're always behind.
I don't know anybody that's ahead.
No. That scorekeepers are never ahead. They're always behind and expecting somebody to play with their hands behind their back so they can get caught up.
Foul.
Yeah. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper, provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. Men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDare.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
Steve Arterburn here, and it is the Christmas time, and it is a time of giving. And, you know, we see where Scripture says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And, you know, if you are in the spirit of giving and the Holy Spirit is leading you to give to a ministry, we hope you'll consider this ministry, New Life Live. And we've got so many places we want to be, new communities we want to be in and we can be in with your support. So if you want to bring truth of God's Word to real life situations that people are living, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. You can also find out about the Every Man's Battle, the Every Woman's Battle Workshop, Lose It for Life Institute, and the Alaska Cruise. Let's go to Amy in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She listens to WORD. Hi, Amy. Welcome to New Life.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, I would just like to know what a narcissistic personality is. Exactly, you know, what that is.
Why do you want to know?
Because I think maybe my husband has that.
What gives rise to that question about your husband?
Other than that he walks around singing, "It's all about me."
Exactly.
What else is there?
because it is. It does seem all about him. He doesn't take responsibility for his own actions. It's always somebody else's fault, and that's usually me most of the time. And I just am not sure exactly if that's, you know, something that he, a problem that he has, and if so, what can I do? How do I live with that? What hope is there?
Why don't you give us an example?
The most recent example is just happened this past weekend. We are new to the Pittsburgh area and have been looking for a church and found one. And Saturday, the evening before, he had asked us to have everything ready so that we could leave and be on time for Sunday services, which was fine.
Who's the us, you and the kids?
The children and I. Uh-huh. So I made sure I had everything ready. And so it came Sunday morning, and he informed me that he was going to the office to do a workout, which was fine.
There's a gym at the office?
There is, yeah. So I made sure that the kids were up and that we were all waiting and ready so that when he came home we could go and be there. So services started at 8:30. It takes us probably about a good 30 to 45 minutes to get there. And so about 8:30, he walked in. And, of course, by this time it's too late. And I didn't say anything. And he just commented, "Boy, the roads are really bad," because we had just gotten a snow.
Mm-hmm.
So he had called me back to the room and said he wanted to talk to me. And so when he did that, he said, "You know, you need to give forgiveness and grace because you expect it, but you don't want to give it." And I wasn't sure exactly what he was talking about. And I said, "I'm, what do you mean?" And so he just explained to me that because he was late, he knew that when he walked in, I was frustrated. And he said, "Isn't that true?" And I said, "Well, it was true because we were ready." And I was frustrated, and I do apologize for that, but it was...
I don't think you have to be apologetic for being frustrated.
I'm sorry?
You don't have to be apologetic for being frustrated.
I would have been frustrated.
And well, being frustrated doesn't mean that you're not forgiving. Mm-hmm. I'm frustrated. I wish you'd been here on time. We've kind of been waiting. And, you know, now we're going to miss it, and that makes us really sad. And, you know, are you sorry about that? And he says, yeah, I'm sorry. And you say, okay, I forgive you. You know, what's for lunch? But it doesn't mean that you don't have any feelings about being sinned against.
Mm-hmm. I think so, Amy, this is the pattern that he never admits he's wrong in these kind of things?
Right.
And so your question is for us, what?
Does he have narcissistic personality?
Well,
I know that's only one example.
We don't know, but we don't know how that would help you. How would the right label help you? What you've got is a problem that, you know, with your husband who's being insensitive.
Can we ask a question that you might want to ask us? The question being, see if this would fit better, Amy.
Okay.
What can I do about this?
Right.
Okay. There's some things you can do.
Yeah, Amy, I don't ever know of a situation where I've heard people talk about their spouse's diagnosis of narcissistic or borderline where I've ever seen anything good come from that.
Mm-hmm.
What really is more helpful is what John said about, you know, what's the problem and what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
The problem being, then you bring up to him, you know, I would like to have a better relationship with you and I want to be a better partner, be close to you, and there's something that gets in the way. And what gets in the way is that it seems like I'm always the one that is at fault and I want to own what I do, but it sort of feels one-sided here, and I want to fix that.
Okay.
Have you had that conversation?
We've had many conversations, and I've tried everything that I could do. On Sunday, I apologized, not really knowing why, but I knew that
exactly.
That's what he expected of me, so I did.
Well, have you tried not apologizing?
If I don't apologize, then there's silence until I decide to break that
by apologizing. Have you tried waiting out the silence and saying, you know what, I'm sorry you're upset. I'd really like to talk. I'd like to be close, but I can't apologize for something that you did. And wait him out. And to wait him out, see, that gets into your own fears and your own vulnerabilities that he is preying on, it sounds like, in order to have this control.
Yeah, he wins the waiting game.
Right.
Right, and that's what it is. It is control. And I don't know what's right anymore because I feel as though everything that I do is not going to be good enough for him.
It may not be, Amy. And see, when you stop placating it, then it's not good enough for him, and then he realizes that he's an unhappy person because the world doesn't do everything that he wants, and then he has to learn what all of us have to learn is we don't get everything we want, and we learn how to love and be happy with people who give us less than what we want, and that develops gratitude, and that's where love comes from. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We're going to send you a copy of Boundaries Face to Face, how to have that difficult conversation you've been avoiding, and maybe it'll help you. But I think, too, you need some counseling.
Mm-hmm. And I'll send you Every Woman's Desire, and maybe he'll read that book. I think it will help in the communication process. You are listening to New Life Live. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and Steve Arterburn here. Our books are available at newlife.com and 1-800-NEW-LIFE, along with the resource 10 Building Blocks for a Happy Family. And for those that support the ministry, The Promise of the Second Wind and Free Tips, 9 Things Inside You That God Wants to Love. Also, when you go to newlife.com, you can get information on the Lose It for Life Institute. People are signing up for the Alaska Cruise already. The sooner you sign up, the better the room that you get. Every Man's Battle Workshop, Every Woman's Battle Workshop, all of that on newlife.com or 1-800 New Life. Just call us. We'll give you that information. And again, those that can support this ministry, please consider supporting this ministry if the Lord is leading you that direction. And when you do, we'll send you The Promise of a Second Wind. We're hoping that this is going to be a great Christmas time for you. And if you need some help, if you're struggling, there are counselors that we have all over the country that want to help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You talk to one of our great people there in Dallas will connect you with someone or a resource that you need. Hey, we love you. We'll see you here again tomorrow on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.